comes together, how it all really operates, and the who is who in the kingdom. And so you'll get a greater glimpse and a greater respect that when you're operating in ministry and looking at the various gifts and callings that are in the body of Christ, as you may sit up under your man or woman of God and look at the various callings and giftings on what we call Christian television, you know, and you have a clear understanding of what most people in church, a large percentage of people in church, have no idea or no clue of how ministry works, how it works. But everybody has an opinion. And you're entitled to your opinion, but your opinion may not be right. Okay? So, but you will have a clear understanding of how ministry operates and what's supposed to happen or should happen in ministry with a greater respect. So this is why this class is so important, to help us understand the culture. I'm seeing everybody has their books. Great. Terrific. Okay? So note page number 26. Page 26, and we're still dealing with the introduction, then we go over in chapter 1. But I want to go over and help clear some things and define some more things that we understand more so. How many of you have done your quizzes? Anybody did a quiz this week? Okay. So, awesome. Awesome. So happy for you. Keep doing that. Do every one of them. It's going to help you so much. Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. Told us that everybody needs to do it. He gave us that clarity. Everyone needs to do it. So this is a great opportunity for everybody to really learn and grow and be on the same page. Be on the same page. Okay? So page 26, dealing with the introduction or the culture of honor. I first want to go to the very first paragraph, the very first sentence that said, honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. I kind of read this to you last lesson, but I just want to pick up there to begin to get into our new lesson for tonight. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationship. That's something you need to keep in your spirit, keep it in your heart at all times, do ministry for the rest of your life, how important it is to honor. How important it is to honor, because honor creates life-giving and promoting relationship. It does it all the time. It does it all the time. You find ways to reverence, to honor, to respect. How can I assist? How can I assist my man of God or woman of God or people in the body of Christ to make the work sweatless? What can I do with my gift, my talent, my ability, my anointing that's upon my life to assist those in leadership? How to make ministry sweatless. God, what has you called me to do? How do I assist my man of God or woman of God to make it sweatless for them? And this will cause, the Bible says, your gift is going to make room for you. That gift make room when you learn to honor. When you learn to honor. That's when the gift is really going to cause the heart of leadership to turn towards you and cause the promotion to come. You're always going to be promoted through somebody. That's something you got to keep in your spirit. There's always going to be a man in front of you. There's always going to be a man in front of you. Everyone's in leadership today got in leadership position on the heel of another man who was leading. They served somebody. And that's how they got their promotion. The Lord was in on it. God was opening the door for him, but he always does it through another man. So when we dishonor other men and other giftings and calling, we're only causing a delay in our own promotions, in our own edification, God edifying us and bringing us to the next level. So serving other people will cause lifelong, life-giving and life-promoting relationships where the anointing would be able to pass through on your life. That come on your life. He says also the key here is accurately acknowledging who people are. Accurately acknowledging who people are. The power of this is It keeps us from becoming familiar with people in authority. The spirit of familiarity, where you figure that I'm on the same level. No, she's a woman just like I am. She put her dress on like I do. Or he's a man like I am. He put his pants on just the way I do. So who is he? When we begin to get familiar with people, then we lose the respect and honor to receive from them. Because now we're tuning them out. No, I just pastor. You know, he go off on that trip all the time. You know, and you get so familiar that the word that's out of his mouth that's going to create life to you, a life promotion for you, it'll pass right over your head because you don't already tune him out with a spirit of familiarity. And that's why you cannot become so familiar with your leader. Never get so close you cross the line that you no longer know who he is or who she is in their position, their office. Because then you're going to get, instead of you getting a double portion of the anointing, you're going to get leprosy. And you don't want the spirit of leprosy. You see, you want the fresh anointing that's coming off of his or her life. And that's what happens when we get familiar. We think we know what they're thinking before they think it. No, no, you got to learn to be patient and follow instead of trying to get in front. So this is the type of things this culture is going to teach us about how to stay focused and in position. Apostle mentioned it today, how to get in your role in your lane and stay there. How to stay in your lane. You know, very important because God has given rankings in the body of Christ. And you got to understand where you are and don't try to be in somebody else's lane unless God promotes you. Unless God promotes you. And he's always going to do it through a man. Okay? He said, we can only do this when we recognize there are God-given identities and roles. This is what we see in the statement of Jesus. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. When we honor properly, then the giftings and the anointings that's on the person's life that we're following and honoring, it becomes ours. I'm entitled to the spirit of honor for the gift and the grace that God has put on the man of God's life or the woman's life that I'm following. It becomes legally mine because I honor properly. Not that I'm going after what's in his hand, but I'm going after what's on their life. You see, so I'm not looking for him to give me a dime or her to give me a dime or give me a ride in their car or those type of things. I call me to the lunch table with them. No, I'm looking with my whole heart and intention is to honor them. It's to serve them. Okay. And through that heart being right, God is going to cause the gift and the grace of that gift on that life to be passed on to me. And before you know it, like Apostle said, it's getting on you while you're sitting in these classes. But you're going to see it evident even more so when you begin to walk among men that you're carrying an anointing and a gift that came off all these teachers you sat up under. It's going to grace your life. It's going to grace your life. And don't be surprised you start acting like them and sounding just like them. It's a grace. It's a grace that comes on your life that causes elevation. He talks about, I'm trying to get to the new lesson. He talks about the names and titles are important. Make a note of that. Names and titles are important. Names and titles are important. He gives a list called mother, father, son, daughter, apostle, prophet, Christians, human beings. Such names define a person's role and identity. And when used correctly, establish God's design relationship in which specific rewards are given and received to build and strengthen us. When we recognize these callings, when we recognize these titles that God has put among us correctly and honor them properly, then we are beginning to see that God has put a design within these titles to cause this promotion to be on your life, this respect and honor to be on your life. But we all start from the place of learning how to serve them. I mentioned to you last week, learning how to serve your parents, learn how to serve your moms and your dad, you know, as well as your man of God. Say, well, Mom, I got that. I'm going to take care of that. I got that. I want you to do it. I'm going to run that errand for you. You see, and you did it. You know, it's going to be strange because you're doing stuff more now to serve them and honor them that's going to cause a blessing to hit your life. It's called blessing to hit your life. And people take it for granted and do not. In the generation we live in, Apostle talked about the generation of where it is and how it's moving, how we need to set a standard for what's right and what's righteous. This Paul talks about in Timothy, Second Timothy, he talked about the day will come when men become dishonorable, disrespectful. You know, they heap up teachers unto their own self, having itching ears. He said this will come a day when we'll see this dishonor and that we're seeing it. We're sinning. But there's a law that is attached to that, which is a law of promise, that if you dishonor and disrespect your parents, that your life will be cut short. But if you honor them, your life will be long. You see? So it's a covenant tied to us respecting the office or titles that are given to people when we learn to respect them. And so this is what he's talking about. When we learn to respect these names and titles, because they are important, because they give identity to who these people are and how important they are to our lives. And they are very important. Never disrespect the men and women of God and people of authority. Never do it. Never do it. Okay. He says also, now let's get to where we want to go, the second paragraph. A culture of honor is created as a community of people learns to discern and receive people in their God-given identity. How do we develop a culture of honor? By learning to receive people in their God-given callings. This is how we develop the culture. And this is a culture you are a part of. You have been called in this culture called the kingdom of God by God. And God has ordained the culture. He's ordained the offices. The center was set up by God, not men. Not men. And that's what you always got to keep in mind. This is God. Okay? And as God set this up, so when men in authority are speaking to me, they're speaking as God's voice to me, God's instructions to me. And that's where you got to receive it. And understand, God is using the gift to speak to you and give you direction and clarity for the rest of your life. So a culture of honor is created as a community of people learn to discern and receive people in their God-given identities. Very, very important. He goes on to give us more information, so write that down as question one. I know you're reading the first paragraph, but that's question one for the night, okay? You may have wrote some other stuff down, but that's okay. This is question one. Okay. A culture of honor is created as a community of people learn to discern and receive people in their God-given identity. See, throughout this book, we will explore some of the names that have enabled us to establish very specific kinds of relationships in the Bethel community. Okay. He says these are, write this down as question two. These are the relationships that attract and sustain the outpouring of God's presence and power in our midst. These are the names that attract and sustain the outpouring of God's presence and power in our midst. The names, apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist. And their distinctive anointings, mindsets, and gifts creates a network of relationships designed to bring the focus and priority of heaven to earth. Now, there's a lot. You got your books. You can write in your own books, okay? You can mark your books up. But this statement, y'all, I want you to understand this statement and how important it is that these titles and these names are important to the environment. Ephesians chapter 4 is where they're taking from. Okay, verse 10, God has given gifts to the body of Christ, you know, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. And he talks about the fivefold giftings, which is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and the teacher. And he was talking about that these names is what give credence to the kingdom structure of God. The kingdom structure of God. These gifts, these callings, these graces, they're called the gifts to the body of Christ. They're called also the graces to the body of Christ. Because these are callings and gifts in which God has placed men in. These men and women are not called of themselves. They are called by God. And they are placed in a place of the fivefold giftings to bring structure, balance, and protection to the body of Christ. But notice the unique order in which they are given. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers. That Paul gave those instructions or those specific direction over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He also talked about the gifts that's given to the body of Christ, the nine gifts that are given to the body of Christ. He talks about also the administrations in the body of Christ. We'll get more clarity on those things. I'm just sharing with you now. But that chapter becomes very important tying into Ephesians chapter 4 with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 because it talks about the order or the government of the church. Of the church, and he talks about the apostle first. He mentions apostle. What men try to do is rearrange it. It was written in a specific order because God has set the order of government. He set the order of government. Just as we have in America, we have the president. Okay? He got his cabinet. It goes down to Congress. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it goes all the way down. And before it does, you get to local government. Then you're dealing with a governor. You're dealing with mayors. Citywide, everything has government to it. It has order to it. It has ranking to it. And everybody has a specific role. But the president is the general, so he's the overseer of all the structure. And so when he speaks words, that word is taken down through the ranks by priority. Okay? It's taken through the ranks and protocols. It goes through a protocol. You know, and so therefore, when the apostle speaks and the prophet speaks, it goes through a protocol. So when God speaks about what he's going to do in the earth, he first going to speak it to the apostle and the prophets. In a shift, in a changes that God's going to do in the kingdom, is going to come through the apostles and the prophets. It's not coming through the pastor. Because it's the apostle who has the heaven-to-earth government. The heaven-earth government. He don't have committees. He don't have committees telling him what he's going to do and what God's doing. He has a relationship with God that when God gives God, he going to call through the Holy Spirit, speak directly to the apostle. And tell him, this is what I want done in the earth. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm moving in the earth. Now you make sure it get to the body of Christ. Through the prophets, through the evangelists, through the pastors and teachers, and then we continue to take that same command and cater it through the body of Christ. Cater through the body of Christ. But the chaos that we're dealing with now in our day and our time is because the apostles have been so silent or pushed back because we have so highly magnified the office of pastor. Because that's who we're all familiar with. We're familiar with pastor, okay? And we all have had pastors. you know, if we're not pastors today. We had pastors. So we were never exposed, most of us were never exposed through the denominational churches as Baptists and Catholics and stuff like that. We were never exposed through the apostles. You know, had bishops, you know, but we didn't have apostles. So we didn't really have a voice or knowledge of kingdom government. Government, the government of the kingdom. And so churches pretty much operated by pastors who apostles share even tonight with us, who did, went through with people. They're pastors nurturers. They're shepherds. And they nurture sheep. They pamper sheep. We're concerned about everybody staying together in the church, so we compromise to make everybody comfortable. You see? And so therefore, we love the pastor because he does us that. You know, he's really not rough. You know, he going to tell us something. He goes around the corner to tell it to us. You know, it's not such a direct, firm, you know, about what we're doing and what we shouldn't be doing. But when it comes down to the apostle, he is not concerned about our feelings. He's concerned about our destiny. And so, therefore, he brings government. He brings order and structure to us, you know, with a strong prophetic voice of wrath and warning. You know, now listen, if you don't correct this, the Lord is going to deal with you. You know, and so, therefore, we didn't have that teaching. We didn't have that mentorship. And so, therefore, it took many of us longer to get where we had to go, because we was being pampered along the way instead of pushed. You know, you come at your own pace. But apostles don't deal with your own pace. He deal with, this needs to be done right now, today. Straighten this up right now. You know, that's the way they deal with you. They come with a rugged, strong, prophetic voice to bring order, so the whole structure of respect and honor don't be lost. And what God is trying to get to you won't be on delay because of your delay. Because of your delay, because you're not moving fast enough. Okay? So when we deal with the apostle, that we're going to deal with in here, apostle first, because God wanted government. It has to have government. Everything has to have order. Everything in life has to have an order to it. If it doesn't have order and does not have government, then it's going to self-destruct itself, destroy itself. Your own personal life. No matter how much you may not like your parents being rough and telling you what not to do and what you should be doing, you know, those type of things, they're setting up barricades to keep you from being a person, but they're setting up safety nets. Structure that's going to help make sure you get to where you're going when you're supposed to get there and mature enough to handle it when you get there. And so this is what's important. And so apostles do the same thing to us. They set up laws, kingdom government of God's word to make sure that we arrive the way we're supposed to get there and get the right results of the word of God. The right results of what God says is supposed to happen to our life. Without it, we can't make it. We can't make it. You know, so we can't be as a generation who don't want to know the God of Moses. No, we have to be a generation who do want to know the God of the apostles and the prophets in our life. We want structure. We want people to tell us what we're supposed to be doing and when we're in error. We need people to tell us, you know, that we can turn to and say, well, I'm thinking about doing such and such. Apostle, what do you think I should be doing? You know, and so Pastor said, why you got to keep asking him about what you have done? You're your own person. You can live your own life. You got your own mind, you know. But the Bible says, you know, before you go to war, you need counsel. Life have major decisions that you're going to make in your life that's going to affect your outcome. And without proper counsel, you could be making a decision that's going to damage your life 15 years. a longer that you got to live with a decision that you made way back then. You still living with the consequences because you went without counsel. Apostles are helped us to give government so we can have counsel. It's there to protect us and cover us and give us divine instruction and directions. Even as a pastor myself, I still go to apostle and ask for certain directions and instruction about my life. Things that I know that can affect me, affect my ministry, or affect my family. You need that advice. You need that wisdom. You know, so that I'm normally headed in the right direction. You need it. And a lot of people say, well, you don't need to be giving that man that much authority. No, he is the authority. God gave him that authority. And when you honor it properly, you're going to receive the proper reward. And I tell you what, I'm blessed better than I was before I knew it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I love it. I love it. So, okay. So let's stand, folks. Apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist. And their distinctive anointings, their mindsets, and gifts create a network of relationships designed to bring the focus and priority of heaven to earth. I love it. That's what it's all about. Yes, having the mind of God. Having the plan of God and doing it God's way. It affects your life in every part. He says also, names like free sons and children of light defines the way we must honor and relate to one another. This is good. This is for all of us. For all of us. Names like free sons and children of light defines the way we must honor and relate to one another. That's number three. So mark that. In your book, as question three. Remember the words, these names, free sons and children of light, defines the way we must honor and relate to one another, particularly when addressing areas of behavior and relationships that need discipline and restoration. In restoration. Now, we're going to talk about further some things in here where it gives us some scenarios that we'll talk about, things that happen in the body of Christ and how we deal with them as free sons and children of light. Very important because we understand why grace is necessary. You know, why we're not dealing with, when we deal with the culture of honor, we're not dealing with legalism. We're dealing with grace. We're dealing with the word apostle used today, mercy. Yes. The spirit of mercy. Okay? Even though we got government structure, we have order, we got kingdom directions, you know, but what cover the whole culture is the spirit of love. It has to operate in love. You know, we're not here to put people in handcuffs. You know, that type of thing. We're here to teach you how to be matured where you become a self-watcher of your own life. You become a self-watcher of your own life, that you know how to do spiritual battle. You know how to behave yourself in any arena of life because, in fact, you understand that you have been raised in a culture of accountability and responsibility to know your identity no matter where you are or who you're among. You know who you are. And you're responsible for your actions. You're responsible for your action because when this class is over with, you going to your house, I'm going to my house. I'm not going to sit there and have no camera in the corner watching you from my house to make sure you behave yourself. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And so you have to become accountable and responsible for every action that you take and understand that those actions have rewards and consequences. Rewards and consequences. And do we check and balance in the body of Christ? Yes, we do. It's very important that we do have accountability. That's why we submit to the apostles. That's why we submit to prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, because we want to be accountable to somebody. We want to be accountable. And it helps us to be accountable to every decision we make in our life because they have weight of reward and consequences. Okay, so that's number three. He also describes descriptive names like royalty, wealthy, and benefactor. Shape our relationships with our resources and with the wider community that the church is called to bless and encounter with the love and power of heaven. This is important because, in fact, these are identity for us. These our titles and our names, they bring our identity. So when somebody said, man, you're blessed, brother. You're a wealthy man of God. All those things are in titles on us because God has anointed us and blessed us as sons and daughters of God so we can be a blessing. Amen. That we are royalty. We are wealthy. So I'm not ashamed, neither should you be ashamed, anybody in the body of Christ, to be identified or labor as being wealthy. Because I cannot fulfill my identity without my wealth. I can't fulfill who I am without wealth. Because my covenant declared and decreed that God wanted me blessed so all the families of the earth can be blessed. If that's so, if that's part of my covenant as being a son of Abraham, and that's Abraham's legacy, and I'm blessed with faith for Abraham, then I need to have what Abraham had in order so I can do what Abraham done. He did, you know, and what Jesus did, you got to have wealth to do that. But the world will try to label you that you high-minded, you think you're all that. You know, y'all shouldn't have that. Christians shouldn't be rich. You know, that religious used to tell us all the time that rich folks can't go to heaven. You know, and if you're rich, you're going to separate you from God. You know, but we have too many scriptures that says different. That opposes their argument. Okay? So especially we start dealing with scriptures of 2 Corinthians 8. 9 that talk about he became poor so you might become rich. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor so that you might become rich. He wasn't talking about spiritually. He was talking about financially. Because you cannot fulfill your God assignment without wealth. It's part of your assignment to bless people, to be a blessing. It's a part of your assignment. So you should never be afraid to identify yourself with money or wealth because, in fact, it's a part of who I am. It's a part of my assignment. Get that in your spirit. I'm royalty. And when we learn to treat everybody in the body of Christ as royalty, it brings an atmosphere among us that when people come in, they see high respect. They don't see nobody talking down to nobody, nobody belittling anybody, but everybody always exhorting, edifying, and comforting each other, and motivating. And instead of we're not here to compete, but we're here to compliment. We're complimenting each other. We're celebrating everybody's victory. We're celebrating. That's the atmosphere or the culture that we're creating. Not one that's competitive, but one that compliments. All right. One that encourages and cheers the other sister and brother as God exhorts them and bless them. You know, because God has no respect of person. He's going to do it for you too. Yes. But one of the things, the test of the heart is, can you celebrate someone else's blessing? Right. It becomes the test of the heart. Yes. When you can do that. When you can honor other folks when they get exhorted. They get in position of honor. Can you celebrate that position of honor? That determines your heart, whether you really are in tune with the culture. You're in tune with the culture. Very important. Very important because there are going to be times, but tests. That apostle will teach this probably later for you, that you got to pass the test. There are going to be days you're going to be tested in the kingdom. Because God does not look on what's on the outer appearance or the talent of a person. God looks at the heart of a person. And he's always proving your heart all the time. He's always proving your heart all the time. Because sometimes you're going to think it should have been you. But you got to learn how to cash down the vain imagination. Apostle talked about it tonight, 2 Corinthians 10:4. You got to be able to cash down vain imagination and things that exhort itself against the knowledge of God, you know, because it's not about you. It's about the kingdom and the kingdom assignment that God has called in the earth. That's what it's all about. And when we learn to get that promotion in here, man, we're going to be gone. We're going to be a culture that when people look at us, they're going to realize, man, these people like nobody else. They're like nobody else, okay? And people are not going to be able to mess over us, not even in the world system. Not going to be able to mess, because we're too sharp for that. We know who we are, you see? We know who we are, you know? And so we ain't got to worry about people complimenting people from the world trying to tell us. And, you know, I deal with this all the time with identity and the kingdom of God and teaching young people about their identity all the time because of the fact, we always think that we need people to authenticate us. But when you know what you know, and you know who you are, it doesn't matter what people think. Because we know who we are in the body of Christ. You see, I don't need you to take me out. I can dress myself and go out and eat. You ain't got to tell me I look good. I looked in the mirror this morning. I know I look good. You know, see, I don't need all that. You see, but the world want to use that kind of stuff to flatter us when we already know who we are. So you're not going to be able to get over me and rape me like that. You know, and that's what this culture is all about. When we all understand who we are matured in Christ, the world will not be able to get over on us. Because we know this already. You know, I know I'm blessed and highly favored. I know that. You know, and once we get the confidence, man, we're gone. We're gone. It doesn't matter how young we are, how old we are, we're gone. All right. You know, and the devil can't run that trip on us no more. Okay, number four, and we get ready to close. Okay, let's get here. Number four is the last paragraph. He says, in a culture of honor, leaders lead with honor by courageously treating people according to the names God gives them and not according to the alias they receive from people. This is very important. Titles and names are very important. Do not become so familiar with leadership that you forget about the calling and anointing on people's life. Very important. So I don't care if you went to school with them. I don't care if you work with them. When it comes down to you having respect and honor for people, you never cross that line. You never cross that line. You may have shot marbles with your pastor. You know, grew up with the neighborhood shooting basketball, but he's the pastor. And I got to be able to take that hat off and give honor where honor is due. Okay? And I honor my man of God. I ain't got a 13 second left. Good night. Y'all have a great night. Love y'all.